Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 28 of Isaiah. I'll begin by reading. Seems like a lot of words there, but only 29 verses, some big verses, I guess. Okay, first word, woe! Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looks upon it sees it, while it is yet in his hand, he eats it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty to the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule the people, this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteous to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. This, for morning by morning shall it pass over, and by day and by night it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valleys of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Does the plowman plow all day to sow? Does he open and break the clods of his ground? When he has made plain the face thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For this God does instruct him to discretion and does teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it. nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also comes forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And I'm going to tell you, there is some wild stuff in here. Hang on. I'm going to take a ride. Back to the first verse. Woe, pain, grief, and suffering. Okay? To the crown of pride. He didn't say to people, he said to the crown of pride. What is a crown of pride? The carnal mind. To the drunkards of Ephraim. Drunkards here, we're not talking about people getting drunk on alcoholic beverages. They're drunk in religion. We talk about wine and strong drink. But see, that's what makes you intoxicated naturally, spiritually, when you're drunk on this man's revelation, not God's revelation. It will intoxicate you and make you do all kinds of silly things. I mean, they'll have you jumping through a hoop and hanging off the chandeliers and all kinds of stuff. It's not God, it's emotions. But Ephraim speaks of duality. So in that duality, and then James said, double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Okay? So this double-mindedness comes from the drunkenness, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. So what they think is great is only temporal, isn't it? Didn't he say everything you see is temporal, but what's eternal you don't see? Which are on the head. What's the head represent? The mind. Of the fat valleys. What do you think that represents? There's a root word that goes back in this fat valleys. It goes back into a root word off of these words, which speaks of gross pride or arrogance. Now, the fat valley, a valley can speak of humility, but a gross valley, you know, the fat valley, speaking of excess, you know, you can take any good thing to an excess, can't you? Right. And so it's speaking of, well, another thing about valleys is everything rolls downhill, don't it? It all piles up. But what is the head of a valley? Someone tell me. Yeah. It's the beginning of it. See, you got the head of the valley where it begins up in the hills coming down, and then you got the mouth of the valley down here where it opens up into the plains or the bigger open areas. So the head of it would be the beginning, or the leadership is what it's speaking of, leadership. And now he's talking to, in this instance, he's talking to us as individuals and to the leadership of the Jewish nation. Okay, he's talking to both people here. He's talking to preachers today, same as he was back then, to the prophets and the scribes and the seers, okay? He said, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with what? Wine, see? So that's that revelation of man, that religious stuff. They're drunk with it. And it make you do all kinds of crazy things when you're drunk, don't it? One thing alcohol does, it makes you uninhibited. And when you're uninhibited, what will you do? Not anything. So they get you that way. It's no different than in the jungles of Africa where they sit and beat on the drums and eat these weird weeds and stuff over to make themselves high, and they go to war. They see the leaders, these rebel leaders can make you do anything, just like the Islamic religion. They got those people so hyped up right now, they'll go kill themselves in the name of God. Kill themselves! I mean, they're just so caught up in all this stuff, you know, it's unreal. But if that's what God wants, that's what's going to happen. But, you know, if we know different, then we shouldn't be acting like that, should we? We shouldn't condemn them. That's where God's got them. There's a place for them. Verse 2, behold, the Lord has a mighty and a strong one. Wonder who we're talking about. You think he's talking about that one man, Jesus, that came? He's talking about the Christ within you. And if you can't relate this to the Christ within you, then you'll never get delivered. The reason people can't get delivered because they still see Jesus up in the sky somewhere, and he's going to come back one of these days. If you can't see this, it's now, right now. There's another passage in Matthew chapter 5. I'll read it to you. You can check it later if you want to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. It says, for verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle will no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What he's saying, until the concept of heaven and earth be fulfilled. There was a concept at one time we were separated under the law. We weren't, but we were in our minds, right? Because he said in the Old Testament, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But in our minds, God has departed us. That's where the world sits today, where most of the church sits. And someday he'll be back. But under the new covenant, Jesus said, I'm going to go away and prepare your place in John 14. He said, I'm going to go prepare your place that where I am, you may be also. Guess where we are right now? We're with him. We're right here. He's right here. The Spirit of God's within every one of us. If we can't see that, we're still living under the law. We're still separated from God under the law. So we've got to get that concept out of our mind that the church world has put on us. Because when you say heaven, everybody looks up. You say earth, everybody looks down. And that's that concept in their mind that there's a separation between us. There is no separation. Never has been, only in our thinking process. Do you think God abandoned Adam and Eve in the garden? No. God made Adam a living soul by putting himself inside of Adam. He put his breath, his spirit in him, and he became life. Come on. Do you think he took that life away from him? No, he didn't. He's always been there. But it's in our understanding we can't see it. I'll get started. I'll never get through this chapter today. It's a good one. Okay, and it's not about getting through it all, but I'd like to. But anyway, he has a mighty and a strong one, the Christ, which is us, which as a tempest or a rainstorm with hail. Okay? Now, it's a rainstorm. Everybody ever seen when it rains with hail, how hard it rains? And what is hail? It's water. It's been frozen. What is water? Hard word. He comes with a hard word, and it's the only thing that's going to straighten you out. It can't be watered down. It can't be wishy-washy bunch of garbage. Tell the truth, because the truth will set you free or make you free. You've got to hear the truth, not someone's opinion of the truth. Okay? But when you hear that truth, now you can be free. Literally, freedom. You can be freedom. Now you can give it to somebody. It's no longer an adjective. It's a noun. And a destroying storm as a flood of mighty waters. Okay? Or a flood of the word. Didn't he say in Isaiah earlier? I think it's in 9, somewhere back in earlier, 11 or something. It says 9:11. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard against it. Right there it is, same thing over again. And shall cast down to the earth with what? The hand. What's the hand represent? Works. With his works, he will cast down to the earth that negative thing out of you, the problem that we have, that carnal mind. It says in verse 3, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot. Okay? So the drunkards of duality, that's religion, shall be what? Trodden down under what? His lifestyle. Not literally walking on them and crushing them, but by feet represents your lifestyle. So by his lifestyle, it's going to change. By him coming to this earth, did not everything change? Now, I'm not saying everything has continued to be perfect. I'm saying the change came. And by that change, he changed time. He changed everything about this world. It's beginning to make the change. It's beginning to change. And it started when he came. And in my world, it's changed maybe different than your world, but it's changing. And he's going to be, and the only thing that will change it is his lifestyle in me changing the lifestyle that was in me as a natural man. Yeah, there was something else I started to say there about the lifestyle and the change, and I lost it there. It almost came out, and it stopped. Let it go. But the lifestyle in me is what changes it. Oh, I know where it was. Didn't he say, when he appears, we'll be just like him? Well, wouldn't that be his lifestyle? See? And are we not supposed to be imitators of Christ? Be ye imitators of Christ? If we do that, guess what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to me if I walk in his ways? I'll be changed. I won't be like Dave anymore. I'll be like Christ wants me to be from the very beginning, like I already was, but I didn't realize it.
I must decrease.
He must increase. There's all kinds of ways he says that and puts it in the same perspective. I have to take responsibility in my life, and when I quit pointing the finger at everybody else, that's when my life really changed. I accept responsibility that everything that happened happened not to me, but for me. You hear me? God set it up for me. I'm not just getting upset about it. I can't change it anyway, can I? If I get mad, what do? I raise my blood pressure. And it doesn't change me a bit. It'll make me unhealthier, maybe. You know, have a heart attack or stroke. But it can't make me a better person getting angry and blaming you for something in my life. It's impossible. Can you hear me? I gotta accept that. I don't have any choice in it. And the glorious beauty which is at the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit. Now that's a bad translation. You know what it really says? First fruit. As the first fruit. Now, as the first fruit before the summer, which when he that looks upon it sees, while it is yet in his hand, he eats it up. Do you think anybody else is going to get that? The book says in the New Testament, in the Gospels, it says that the farmer gets the first fruit. And God is the farmer. So when he looks on and sees that we're ripe, he snatches you, he picks you, and he consumes you. Doesn't it say that God is a consuming God, a consuming fire? He's not going to let anybody take you if he has you chosen to be what he wants you to be. Right? You just got to believe it. See? Not that to believe that there is a God, but believe that God's doing what he wants to do and you got nothing to say about it. See? I am his servant. It's not my responsibility to take care of myself. It's God's responsibility. He's the master. I'm the servant, and the servant is taken care of by the master. True or false? See? It's that simple. But we've got it inverted today in the church system. We're supposed to be taking care of God because he's crippled up and everything, you know, walking on a cane and, you know, he can't do nothing. We got to help him. No, we got to get out of his way. Okay. That's right. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Okay, and as the first fruit before summer, when he looks, that he that looks upon it sees it, while it is yet in his hand, he eats it up. And in that day, and what day are we talking about? The day of the Lord, and the day that he consumes you, shall the glory of the Lord of who? The masses. The Lord of the masses. Who's he the Lord of? The whole earth. And everything on it, isn't he? The word host is not a good word right there. It should be masses. For Lord of hosts, be for a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty to the residue. Who do you think the residue is? The remnant or the first fruit? See, the Lord is going to be their the diadem. His nature and his character is going to be that crown of beauty. When we're just like him, do you think we have to put a crown with jewels on it on our head? Put a robe on or something? Come on. It's going to be like him. Just like he told Moses or Abraham, rather, in Genesis 15. I am your great and exceeding reward. I don't need anything. I don't need a reward in the earth. I got him. If I got the gift giver, what gift do I need? Nothing. I got it all. We've got to get our thinking right. It's all about the thinking. Like that old golfer said one time I seen years ago on TV when they were talking about that golf game down there at the Masters in Augusta. They were hard to hit that fairway. It was so narrow and them big tall trees and the wind was blowing, big trees whipping. Everybody was complaining, saying how hard it was to do this and that. And everybody saying, well, how are you going to do it? And they were telling different ways you could stay in that fairway. They turned to the old man and said, well, what do you got to say? And he said, he put his fingers to his temples and said, it's only 8 inches wide. It's telling you, the game's in the head. It don't make any difference how wide it is. If you do and focus on what you're supposed to do, it doesn't make any difference what's out there, does it? It don't make any difference with water hazards or trees or any roughs or anything else. sand traps, as long as you focus where you're supposed to, what bearing would it have on you? None. He's trying to tell you something.
You're only focusing on the whole.
That's right. You're not focusing on all the rest of it. See? But when you focus on that, that's where you go. When you step up there and look at them trees swaying, it's, oh my God, there you're going to the trees. You're going in the rough. See? Don't think about that stuff. Focus on what God has got for you and don't worry about it. And for a spirit of judgment to him, now he's going to be as a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment. Now, we think of judgment, we think bad, don't we? Oh, we're going to get in trouble. But a judge has an opportunity to give you one of two answers, guilty or not guilty. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it wasn't about his flesh body. It was about a judge standing there. Because the judge had been done away with in the 12 tribes of Israel. Look at your New Testament order. Dan, the judge, is no longer there. Because it was done away with on that cross on Golgotha. And it says, judgment can give you guilty or not guilty. And what did he say as in one of his last statements? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's not guilty. He's already rendered a judgment. The only judgment that I can render to anyone that does anything to me is not guilty. If I do anything other than guilty, what am I judging from? From knowledge of good and evil, the wrong tree. But I'm going to judge from that tree of life that was standing right there beside of it. Hear me? That's what we got to get our focus back on, that tree of life. Forget the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's a purpose for God giving you everything you get. Didn't he say in Philippians 4 and 6, be anxious for nothing, but in all things give thanks unto God. All things. So guess what? He didn't say you'd like them. He just said you're going to have them, whether you like it or not. Deal with it. Okay? And for strength to them that what? Or return the battle to the gate. Now, let me show you something. Return the battle to the gate. Watch me here because I want you to see this. The battle is going on in the brain, is it not? The gate is the eyes, the door. And Jesus is, he said, I am the gate, I am the door, both ways. But return it back to him. The battle belongs to the Lord, not to you. Don't be doing battle in your head all night long when you should be sleeping. This is not condemnation. It's revelation. Quit thinking about it. Go to sleep. Focus upon the Christ. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, the Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. Quit looking at all the circumstances, and guess what will happen in your life? You'll walk in peace. You'll walk in peace. And you'll drive everybody else crazy. But that's okay. You walk in peace. Don't worry about what they do. If they can't handle it, that's their issue. And you can't help them until you get yourself in that position of peace. Peace is not just being comfortable. Peace is comfortable no matter what's going on. Walking in peace means you never lose it. See? Anybody can be at ease when there's nothing going on. Put the firestorm on you and see where you're at. That's what tells you. See, that's your what's the stone? Touchstone, yeah. The touchstone. It measures. That touchstone is kind of a rough stone, and you take that and strike it against it, and it tells you how good a quality of gold you got or silver. See? How much redemption you got, how much of God have you got? Huh. Looks pretty good, huh? Does it look pretty good when he strikes you? Does it look pretty good? When it rips some of it off of you? Oh, God, I'm having fun. I'm having too much fun. Okay, verse 7. But they also have erred or been misled. But they have also been misled, see, through wine, religion, religious teachings, and through strong drink, again, religious teachings, are out of the way or misled through the strong drink. The priest and the prophet have misled through strong drink. And they are swallowed up of religion, not wine, religion. They are misled through strong drink. They, what? They have been misled in vision. They stumble in judgment. Why? Because of duality. See? He said, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. That's exactly what the ministries do today. If you got enough money, you're a good guy. And no matter what you do, if you got enough money, you're a good guy. You can be a good guy. If you ain't got enough money, to them, you might as well be evil because you ain't supporting them. Huh? Absolutely, it's the law. Duality is the law. Verse 8. Because all the tables of religion are full of vomit. It means what is vomited up. And filthiness or excrement. It's human waste. You know, it's full of vomit and waste. So that there is no place clean. Didn't he say he condemned, he said all of them were under sin, that all might receive grace and mercy? Okay, but where do you think that place is so that there's no place clean? What do you think he's talking about? A tabletop or your mind? See, it's an internal thing. It's about your mind. There's no mind clean when we start. No matter what you think, we're not clean until we understand something. We're cleansed by his blood and by his word. We're cleansed. We're made in right standing, but the word is what really washes us and cleans our thinking process. Washed by the water of the word. That's what I was looking for. And then he says, this seems like something changes here. And, you know, I've quoted this thing many times myself and never really saw the context of it. And until I come to this place where I know who I am and I accept God is doing things in my life, he's identifying something. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Now, everybody can't learn knowledge, can they? Until God creates the hearing ear and the seeing eye, they can't hear or see anything. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And the word doctrine is not really a good rendering. It says here, he said, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he teach to understand what they have heard? Does that make more sense? To understand what you've heard. To have, what do they call it, retention in your word. When you read, to be able to retain comprehension, to have to retain what you've read and understand what it means. He said, so who can I do this to? Them that, and it's also in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, it brings that out. And if I go this whole thing, it'd take all day, so I'm trying to condense it a little bit. And also in Job 33, 13 through 16. So you got the two verses, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, and Job 33, 13 through 16. Anybody wants to go look at it, you go look at it, because if I keep this going, if I go off over there, I'm going to be, I know, be here all day. And I don't want to wear y'all out completely. I want to wear you out, but not completely. Okay, he said, and here he says, he asked those questions, and then he says, them are those that are weaned from the milk. What is milk for? Babies. And drawn from the breast. There's actually two things going on there. And it's just like Passover and Pentecost. So when I come out of my Passover experience and my Pentecostal experience and I come to my Tabernacles experience, or I could say my dust, sand, and star covenants, when I come to that last covenant, to that day, third day, when I come there, that's where I'm going to begin to learn. Jesus said, the first 2 days I do miracles and cures, and on the third day I'll be perfected. I need to come to that understanding that the first two realms, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're just elementary. And in Hebrews, doesn't he say, I think it's Hebrews 5, he said in the first part of it, let me read it. I get that part, I know I'll get it right. I'll read it. Okay. No, Hebrews 6, excuse me. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. It's not about us, see. If God permits, we're going to do it.
What verses were those?
Hebrews 6, first three verses.
5, 6.
Hebrews 6, 1 through 1 through 3 or 4, first 3 or 4 verses of Hebrews 6. Because verse 10 he says, because precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. What he's saying, you don't build a brick wall in one day because it can't stand the pressure. That's the natural teaching. But it's the same thing about us. God could not expect me to carry what I'm carrying today when I first started. I could not have understood it. I'd have went out and committed suicide or killed a whole bunch of other people with it, you know. I could not have done it. I could not have handled it. I couldn't have stood the pressure. Okay. So he tempers you and prepares you. He said, if he calls you, he equips you, doesn't he? In Romans 8, doesn't he say that? If he calls you, he equips you. So it takes some time to equip you and get you ready to go, get you prepared to do what he wants you to do. Okay? And he says, a little here and a little there. That's how you get it. You don't get it all one time because it'll overflow you. Because with stammering lips and another tongue, and everybody says, well, that's speaking in tongues. Well, that's not necessarily what it says. It was another language where he speak to his people, to this people. What language do you think he's speaking with? He's speaking to you in a spiritual language, not a earthly language. Has nothing to do with the speaking of tongues. I have no issue with speaking of tongues. It's as real as life, but it's a Pentecostal thing. It's a second covenant thing, and I'm not there no more. That's part of my foundation. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. I've stepped on up. I'm going on. I'm not staying in them first two realms. Somebody's got to be everywhere. Somebody's got to be, everybody's got a place to be. I'm just saying, if you love God and desire to follow after God, you can't stay in those first two realms. I find people all the time that just cannot stand to stay in the church system. They know it's wrong, but there's nobody out here that's got enough guts to speak the truth to tell these people they're someplace else. And it's within yourself. You don't have to go to a church to find God. God's within you. You've got to open yourself up. Open the door to yourself. Open the door to your mind. See what you can find in there, because God's in there. He said, you can ask God, and God will give you what you ask for, didn't he? If you ask for wisdom. See, it comes from within. What I'm saying to you is what came from within me. But the same thing is within you. It should be nothing more than a remembering to you. If I say something that rings true to you, it's because you remembered it. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm helping you remember what God has given you. Just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, as talked about the communion. Everybody calls communion the Lord's Supper. When you partake of it, you do this to remember me. Put me back together, not thinking, but put us back together. That's what it's all about. This whole thing. Even Tabernacles has the meaning of oneness or ingathering. See? That's what this is about. Putting it all back together. And you got to start with the first fruit first. When they get straightened up, they can do some more of the work. That's all. Okay. Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest. And there's a lot of words here that shouldn't be there. I'm going to read it just like it should be. They got a lot of added words. To whom he said, this is the rest, you cause the weary to rest, that you may cause the weary to rest. Okay? And this is the refreshing, yet they weren't willing to, is what it should say. They weren't willing to hear. They weren't willing. How many people that you tell them the truth and they're not willing to hear? For whatever reason, they're just not, they don't want to give it up for some reason. They're drunk with religion. That's what it is.
But it could go back to the verse before where he's speaking another tongue. Maybe
they can't hear.
When you first come into this knowledge, it is kind of foreign to you. It's
like it is. Absolutely. You have to learn a new language, his language. That's exactly what it is. And we can't get upset with it because I talk to people all the time and I look at them and I tell them things of Scripture and they look at me like a deer in the headlights. And I'm talking English, and they're going, they have no clue what I'm saying, so I just close it off and go on. Don't want to hurt anybody, just do what I got to do. And that last word there in 12 is the word shama. They were not willing to hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively. See, they didn't want to respond. That's why they didn't want to hear it. They would have to give it up, and they don't want to. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they not might, cross out the word might, because when he give it to them, they're going to fall backward and be broken and snared and taken captive. What's the NAS say about this? Have I got it right here? Read the NAS, read it out loud. Oh, he's read. 13, right there. Okay, so the word of the Lord to them will be order on order, line upon line, a little here, a little there, that they go and stumble backward and be broken and snared and taken captive. That says it really well, without the mumbo jumbo of King James.
Well, don't you have to tear down one foundation to build another?
Yes, you do. That's the hard way to do it. The easy way is get that Babylonian baby real early. And
Yeah, idolatry in the mind has to be poured out.
Absolutely, it does. But if you get it early, it's not near as hard. Just like if you was tearing down a foundation that had been built before the house was built, that foundation may still be green. You can break it out pretty easy. But you let that thing set up for a while, boys, I'm telling you, you're in for some work to get that thing out. So that's what he's trying to tell us. Wherefore, verse 14, hear, and that's Shama, hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to the word of the Lord. You scornful or bragging, it should be bragging men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem or duality. Jerusalem is a place of two hills, it says. Okay? That's a duality. So religion can be, and Jerusalem can be a positive or a negative thing. It can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the context. Here it's not a good thing. It's negative. It's called by duality. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, or literally the grave, death and the grave. The word is Sheol. We are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us, because we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood or self-deception, is what it should say, we have hid ourselves. And that's religion today. That's religion. And it's the same religion of old. They did the same thing. There's nothing different today. Didn't it say there's nothing new under the sun? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. Okay? Zion is the Star Covenant. There's three mountains, and actually three mountains in Jerusalem recognized. One place it says 2, 1, 3. Mount Ophel, Mount Moriah, and Mount Zion, the highest mountain. Okay, it's the highest one. Speaking of the third covenant, the Star Covenant. Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried cornerstone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not act hastily. Do you know how many people act out of response, like a knee jerk? Hey, be anxious for what? What does Isaiah 40:31 say? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. They were slowing down. Slow down. Slow down. The slower you get, the more you're going to hear. See? Don't be running. Everybody thinks that the eagles are some great big spiritual person. It's a baby. It's a beginning place. Okay?
Let's also be quick to hear.
Slow to speak. Slow her down. Let your thinking process slow down. Okay? Verse 17. Judgment. Remember, that's positive or negative. Also will I lay to the line. Judgment will I lay to the line. You know what that line right there says? Measuring line. It's a measuring line. And righteousness as the plumb bob. Okay? So he said, I'm going to make judgment as a measuring stick. Do judgment right. Did he say, everybody tells you in the church the world today to not judge anybody. Don't they tell you that? Well, that's funny because, you know, I've seen something in Corinthians that I think is really amazing. They quote that out of Matthew, not to judge, judge not lest you be judged. Read the whole thing and tell you, first clean your own eye up, then you make the judgment. But totally out of context. Paul says something in 1 Corinthians 6. He said, Now, where's it at? Okay, hang on. Did I do that wrong? It should be there. Am I looking at the page wrong? You know what? You know why I didn't get it right? Because he said it in Romans. But now, something kicking in my head is Romans. Talks about judgment. Someone help me there. Well, I just said help me there a minute. I'm missing it for some reason. Where he said, "Know ye not that we shall judge the world and angels?" Where is it? Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. That's upsetting when I can't find that verse, and I know it. I know it as well as my own. Oh, here it is. Got it. I got it. I was looking right at it and didn't see it. It was in 1 Corinthians 6. Like I said, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you," what's he calling you?
A saint.
"Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels, and how much more the things of this life?" Come on. We are to judge.
I'm talking about being a brother of court.
No. Judging, huh?
At one point, the previous to that,
yeah.
Paul was talking about...
In chapter 5, yeah. Not to sue anybody.
Right.
Yeah. Get the whole context of it, you're right. Okay, where'd I leave off that? Yes. 17? Yeah. So I said judgment, which is positive or negative. "Also will I lay as the measuring line, and righteousness as the plumb bob, and the hail," and the hail, what is the hail? It's that hard word. "Shall sweep away the refuge of lies." See, only the truth is going to cleanse the lies out of my thinking process. Nothing else can do it. If I just keep adding lies upon lies upon lies, it's never going to change anything. That's insane. That's a definition of insanity, isn't it? You've got to change something. It's got to be changed to the truth. "And the waters shall overflow the hiding place." The word, it's going to overflow. He said it's going to cover the whole earth, didn't he? And he's not talking about a giant flood. He's talking about a flood in your earth, okay? "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled," or what? You know what that word disannulled really is? It's kafar, the Hebrew word. It means atoned. So it says, your covenant with death shall be atoned for. What do you think the cross was? That was an atonement to do away with our covenant with death that Adam gave to us in the garden. It's already been atoned for. It's past tense. "And your agreement with," what it says, hell, which should be the grave, "shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge or chastisement shall pass through, then you shall be" what? "Become" what? "Abased." All it says is abased. He's talking to religious leaders. You're going to be humbled. Remember what he said? If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he'll raise you up. But if you... if you abase yourself, he'll raise you up. But if you raise yourself up, he'll abase you. Same thing.
Could it be like an unveiling, though? Like after he's given you all this, you will see like clarity?
Well, that's going to be there. But what he's saying is, if you set yourself up in these places of leadership, like most of the church world has done, democratically voted for, or grandma chose it, or dad chose it, or mom chose it. You do that on your own, and I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to bring you down. I'm going to expose the fact that you're a phony, that you're working for your own self. But God uses that. God uses that. He uses all their mistakes and errors and religious doctrine. He uses that. See, it's okay. I'm not going to condemn any of that, but it's not for me. That's what we have to see. I'm not going to beat them up and curse them or anything like that, but I will expose them. I have no issue with exposing them. I'll do that. And it said they will be trodden down. Is that right? That's 18. Did I do that yet? Yeah. They shall become a base. Okay. Verse 19 is what I want to look at. As often as, it should say from the time, as often as it goes forth, it shall take you. Now here's the neat thing. Watch what it says. As often as it goes forth, it shall take you. What's he talking about? Well, the scourge, he said. The scourge is what's going to do the judgment and the cleansing there of it, which could be the word too. Because morning by morning it shall pass over. Is there a day that goes by that's not going to be looking at you? You're going to be tested daily.
Every day.
By day and by night, it shall be a vexation or an agitating or an irritation merely to understand the report. But he's still, basically, he's talking to the leadership. It's an agitation to them to understand the report of the Lord. They can't understand it. It just drives them crazy. You wouldn't believe the people I've talked to, the preachers I've talked to, the heads of colleges, that religious colleges I've talked to, several. And you wouldn't believe how hard of a struggle they have to listen to what I'm saying. And it's right in front of their faces. And they're scholars in Greek and Hebrew, but legalistically, they're not listening to the Spirit of God. And it's a contradiction to what they've been doing so long. If they would have to back up and say, hey, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, and they can't do it. They don't have it within that natural man to say, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. I want to atone for it. I want to tell you the truth. Now, I've done that to a lot of people, said, you know, because I used to believe some of that stuff too. Well, I bought a hook, line, and sinker. I went to some people and said, you know, hey, I made a mistake. This interesting man says, you're telling me that now you're right and everybody's wrong. I said, I didn't say that. I just said, I know in myself now that what I said was wrong. He said, well, you're crazy. Okay. Hang on to it then, pal. That's all I can tell you.
That was because you fell backward and was broken.
Yep. That's okay. No, sir. Okay, verse 20. Because the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it, there's no relief, is there?
No rest.
Anybody ever try to sleep on a real short bed, your feet hanging over, your head hanging over? It's not comfortable. For everybody but Lisa. Okay. But it's uncomfortable, see? And you're going to be uncomfortable. God's going to make you uncomfortable until you come to your senses. And the covering narrower than he that can wrap himself in it. You can't cover yourself in all those lies of religion. You can try, but it won't totally cover you. It'll temporarily cover you for a season. It covered me for a season.
Your butt's exposed one way or the other.
One way or the other, you're going to be hanging out. And I guarantee you. But see, I believed it for a season, and I was wrapped in those rags, those filthy rags that Isaiah talked about. I was wrapped in them. But you know what? I come out of it. God exposed me. Hey, the book says we all stand naked before the Lord, you know, okay? So I'm exposed. I don't care. That don't make any difference anymore. I don't care. I have nothing to hide. I can't hide anything from him. To think you can hide from God is absurd.
He's the one that gave
me
the short blanket
to the family. There you go. See, so we got to learn to accept this stuff and go on. Verse 21, because the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be disquieted, is what the word should say, as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now the word strange is not correct. Anybody else got a word there?
Unusual.
What'd you say?
Four.
How about wonderful?
Remarkable.
But the word is actually wonderful. Actually, the language is wonderful. It's not his strange work, but it is strange to people that don't understand. But it's wonderful. Now, therefore, Both of those words, strange, in that 21st verse are, should be wonderful. Okay?
One of ours says awesome and unusual.
Well, they're supposed to be the same, so. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. So it says, if you're going to be mocking God about you being right and him being wrong, your bands are going to be strong. You ain't getting out of it, are you? You're going to be captive for a long time. For I have heard, and this is what Isaiah is saying now, I have heard intelligently from the Lord and with the intent to respond positively, the Lord of hosts or masses, a destruction, a complete destruction. That word consumption should be complete destruction, even determined upon the all the earth. Not the whole earth, but all the earth. What does all the earth mean?
People.
That's exactly right. All the earth is us. We're made from the earth. He's not going to destroy the earth we're standing on. He's going to destroy this earth. It's all symbolism. We're made from the dust of the earth. And he said, I'm determining this on everybody. Hey, whether you like it or not, you're going to get changed. Religion, I don't care if you listen. If you hear it, you're going to get changed when the time comes. It's not up to me to change it, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to get changed. How about that? You don't like it? It's okay. Might as well get glad, because it's coming. You're all going to get it. And then when you say that crazy preacher told me the truth. So my dad used to call me my crazy preacher son. Okay, verse 23. Give ye ear and hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to my voice. Hearken and hear. Here's that Shama again. Hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively. To my what?
Words.
My speech. Actually, the word there is debar, but it means the word of God. Okay? Hearken and hear the word of God. Hearken to my speech and hear the word of God. He's speaking as God speaking through him. Just as God speaks through how many of us? All of us. So even the people that don't believe it. Does that mean God doesn't speak? Why do you think so many songwriters can write things out of their internal thinking and say some of the most beautiful messages of God through their songs, and the church world wouldn't listen to them because they're country or they're rock or whatever, but there's a song there that's the truth of God coming out of them. How did it get there?
They were inspired.
Well, it was in them from the beginning, and God inspired them to bring it out. And see, he speaks through anything. If he can speak through a dumbass to Balaam the prophet, he can speak through any dumbass he wants to on the face of the earth. Can he? I don't care. I know God can speak through any process he wants to speak through. And if you have ears to hear, what do you think in the revelation, the unveiling, the uncovering of Christ, what do you think it says? Blessed is he that has ears to hear. It's important. If you can't hear, you can't get anything, can you? And we're talking spiritual things. Okay, verse 24. Does the plowman plow all day just to sow? Sure he does. He plows all day preparing the ground. It takes some time. So he's telling you it takes time for me to prepare you to get that seed in you. That's why it's been thousands of years going through. He wasn't ready yet. He's taking his time getting the earth prepared. And your earth between your ears has to be broken up too. Does he open and break the clods of his ground? What do you think? You know what that word ground is there? Adama. isn't that amazing? It's a root word right out of Adam. Adama. 127. That's cute, isn't it? He broke up his own ground. When he has made plain, and that word plain is not correct, it should be level. When he's made level the face. What do you think he's saying when he said made level the face? What's the face? Panim is the word in Hebrew. Face. The mind. When he's made your mind level, now he can get some things sewed into it. You know, if it's got a sharp point on top, nothing goes in, it rolls off, don't it? Or if it's sloped, like some ministries where you might say, I won't say the names, got sloped hairdos, it runs off. You get that later. His brother said he can make fun of him, but I can too. So, anyway, When he is made level of the mind thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches, their seeds, and scatter the common, and cast the principal wheat, okay, and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? So he's saying everything has its place, has its time, okay? For his God does instruct him, it says to discretion, but literally it says he does instruct him to judgment. God instructs him how to judge, okay, what to do and when to do it. When you plant seeds, those seeds can't go in the ground all at the same time. Some can take cold weather, some can take dry weather, and they got to be planted at different times to make them come. So he said God does instruct him to judgment. He knows what time it is. And see, we're supposed to be the ones being instructed by God on the harvest of his earth, because he's not trying to get corn and beans out of the ground and wheat. He's trying to get this earth. His tithe from the earth is his first fruit. That's what he's after. He's not after the rest of them yet. He'll get them in time, but right now, it's this. Because the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument. They're a small seed. They don't beat them that way, okay? Neither is a cartwheel turned upon the cumin and crushed. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. What's a staff represent?
Authority.
Authority. So this change, this fruit's going to come by authority of God. And the cumin with a rod. What is a rod for? Correction. See, by God's authority and God's correction, is there going to be a harvest in these two? You know what covenants them are? Dust and sand. And look here at 28. Bread, corn. There's no such word. There was no such thing as corn in their culture. Anytime you see the word corn in King James, it was added in the English culture because there was none in their culture. Actually, that word right there is wheat. Wheat is bruised or crushed. And didn't the scripture say that he was beaten, broken, and bruised? That's the Christ. That's the wheat. That's what's within us. And it will be beaten, broken, and bruised, just as he was. If we're going to walk where he is, if we don't suffer with him, we will not reign with him. Okay? And he says, because he will not ever be threshing it or break it with the wheel of his cart. The word will never be broken that way. By man. See, the wheel of a cart is man's invention, isn't it? Man will never be able to break the word of God on their own initiative.
An inanimate
object is not going to break the word of God. Only the Spirit can open up that word of God. Nor bruise it or crush it in with his horsemen. See, with their own strength. Horse represents the brute beast strength. So the horses, he can, you know, with our own strength and with our own inventions, we're not going to figure this book out. That's why we have 28,000 or 25,000 15 years ago different denominations, because people was trying to do it with their own inventions, with their own strengths. That's why. You all can't read the same verse and get 25,000 different meanings to it if you're listening to God, because God doesn't speak with a double-forked tongue. He only says it one way. But how do you hear it? There's the issue. See, when the man on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and declared the word of God, 18 different languages recorded, heard him speak in their own natural language, and he only said it one way. There's God when you can, it's what you hear. Blessed is he that has what?
Ears
to hear. It's about being able to hear what God says. So they read it and they hear it the way they want to, because they're not listening to God. Their heart is, they worship me in their lips, but their heart's far from me. Right? They're not doing it right. They don't care to. Verse 29, I'll wrap this thing up. This also comes forth from the Lord of the masses, which is wonderful. And see, there's that word should have been used down there a while ago when it said strange in verse 21. He's wonderful in counsel and excellent in understanding, not working. Understanding is what that word is. Well, it's understanding. Well, he gives us everything. So if we listen to him, we can't make a mistake. If you don't like anything I'm doing, take it to him, because I'm not going to change it. You know, I can't, neither can anybody else. I hope you understand that This is about us learning to take care of ourselves. If we can take care of ourselves, who can we feed, Steve?
Other people.
That's right. See, if we get ourselves taken care of, then we have no more issues. See, I'm not going to spend time calling somebody, hey, pray for me, I got a hangnail, and pray for me this, and pray for me that. I'm not going to do it, because God's responsibility is to take care of me. I'm supposed to take care of whatever he tells me to. See? And the church has got all kinds of doctrines of what the preacher's supposed to do. Ain't in the book. Ain't in the book. See? So, I'm going to go on with the book and what the Spirit of God reveals to me in it. I can't go anywhere else, can I? I don't know where anybody else can go, but I can't go anywhere else.